why is it so hard for so many to find, or more realistically, to take the time to pray? Think about it. Why is it so hard for so many? And why is it that some seem to have dialogues with God, conversations with God in prayer, and some people, far too many, just have a monologue? It's just them talking to God, nothing else happens. And so they get discouraged and quit. And what's the deal with seemingly unanswered prayers? The disciples had seen John the Baptist. I'm sure they had watched him because he drew great crowds out in the wilderness. I'm sure the disciples watched him and they watched his life and they watched how he functioned and they watched how he constantly referred to his relationship with the Father, that he was speaking about the one that was coming. And then they met the one that was coming and he selected them and they were with Jesus and they watched Jesus. And they watched him take time to pray. He'd say, come on, guys, we're going to go over here and we're going to pray. So they'd go over in the garden and they'd pray. They just prayed. Then they'd go back and they'd do whatever it was that was set before them to do that day. And sometimes Jesus would just say, you guys wait here. I'm going to go over here and pray. I need to be alone with my Father. He set the pattern for them, and I'm sure that they watched him, and they said, we want that. I'm sure they talked about it among themselves. And Luke chapter 11, verse 1 says, once Jesus, and I'm in the New Living Translation just because I like the fact that it is alive. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and as he finished, one of his disciples came to him. One of them came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. You know, how it is always one speaking for the whole group. You know, we've been talking about it, Jesus, and we want you to teach us how to pray. Just as John taught his disciples. And Jesus responds to their request with a form and an illustration. We know the form. The form is, as he talked about this morning, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. And then if you look at that in Matthew's version, in the King James or the New King James, it adds, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. He starts with praise, he ends with praise, and in the middle he's got some requests. Gives them a form. And it says, and then teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. I love it when Jesus tells stories. Stories work for me. I think stories work for most of us. And the story that he tells is a bit humorous, but it's pointed. And in order for us to understand the story, we have to first understand what a lot of the houses in the area where they lived were like. They were made of baked clay, and they were built up, and often the houses were just one large room with a loft up above. And daily they were in and out of the house, usually had, you know, dirt floors, in and out of the house. And then at night, they would close up the house. They would bring in whatever livestock they had, you know, the sheep or the goats or the cows or whatever it was. They would bring them in, and they would close them in there at night so that the wild animals wouldn't get them. And then the family would all climb up into the loft, and that's where they slept. Sounds like a vacation home, you know? And Jesus tells the story. He said, once there was a man who was living there, and the family has all turned in for the night. They've locked the doors, they've closed it, it got dark. You know, they went to bed when it got dark pretty much. They didn't have a lot of electricity. So they didn't sit up and watch TV. They went to bed. So they're all up in the loft and they've gone to sleep. And about midnight, there's a knock on their door. You can imagine the man of the house says, who's out there? And a voice calls back in and gives him his name. And he says, I'm sorry I'm so late, but I was traveling through and I had to stop and see you. The guy probably looked over at his wife and he says, at midnight he's got to do this? And he says, oh, what are we going to do? Custom said that they had to provide a meal for someone who came visiting. And they weren't ready for this. They didn't have anything. And so he says, okay, I'll. So he climbs down, makes his way through the livestock, gets to the door. He says, come on in. Be careful where you step. And he says, I've got to go next door. So he goes next door to the neighbors, goes over there. What? I've had a friend come unexpectedly, and I need 3 loaves of bread. Are you kidding me? The kids are all asleep. We've been in bed now for 3 hours, and just leave us alone. I need 3 loaves of bread. Okay. Wait a minute. Neighbor finally gets up, comes down, gives him 3 loaves of bread, and he goes back over. And humorous story. And then Jesus gives the application of that story. Verse 9. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Ask, seek, knock. What's the difference? I mean, if it all meant the same thing, Jesus could have said, ask, ask, ask. Or ask and keep on asking and keep on asking. But he didn't. He said, ask and seek and knock. This wasn't somebody else. This was Jesus telling the story. Ask, seek, and knock. And so why did he use these 3 different words? I wasn't there. I don't know. But as I've read it and as I've studied it and as I've tried to live it, here's what I find. Asking is understandably telling God what we would like. Asking him. We ask him. We ask for things all the time, don't we? Asking. Seeking. I believe, is the next step. It's the step when the transition goes from me to him. I am now trying to determine what is God's perspective on the request that I made. What does God think about that? What does God really want? Is he in agreement with my request? Would he like to alter it or change it or reshape it? What's God's perspective? And so I'm seeking what he wants in this situation and with my request. And finally, I reach the point where I start knocking. I surrender my will to his will. And I say, God, I have brought my will into alignment with your will as I have been asking and then seeking you. And now I'm giving it to you. Now it's yours. I'm knocking. And it's up to you now. It's up to you. It's all in your hands. And in each of these areas, the original languages say not just ask, say knock, but it's keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. There is an attitude of continuousness that goes on. And then he takes us over to Luke 19. Excuse me, Luke 18. One day he told his disciples a story to show that they should pray, they should always pray and never give up. Always pray and never give up. And he tells a story about a certain judge in a town and about a widow. You know, it's really interesting that he uses these two characters, because in most of those little communities, a judge was about as high as you could get in terms of the community standing, just short of being, you know, one of the religious scribes. And so we've got this judge who is high in the community standing, and he's looked up to, and everybody said, wow, he's really something. And then over here he's got this widow. Women didn't have much standing. And a widow woman was a little below that, because she didn't have anybody to advocate for her. And so the widow woman had somebody that was really giving her a hard time. I don't know what it was. Jesus doesn't tell us. But he tells us that the widow woman went to the judge and she said, I'm being attacked and I need you to give me some comfort. I need you to intervene. I need a protection order. And the judge ignores her. So the next day, the judge is sitting at the outdoor cafe there having lunch with a couple of his friends. And the widow woman comes up and she starts pestering him in front of his friends. He says, go away, woman. And this goes on. And the story that Jesus tells that the woman kept after him until he finally said, okay, I'll give you your order of protection. And I think that this story is more about us than it is about God. Because Jesus said that he told the story to show that they should always pray and never quit, never give up. And this takes us back to the questions that I started with when I said, why is it that sometimes so many find it so difficult to take the time to pray? And I think in both of these stories, we see part of the answer. In the second story he tells, it was an unjust judge. Well, we know that that's not God, because God is always just. Aren't you glad? But he tells the story of the unjust judge, and I think from that we can draw an idea. And in the story in chapter 11, it's the neighbor in the upstairs at night, and he doesn't want to be bothered. And I think that somehow so many people, so much of the time, have a hard time going to God because they see him as either not being just, or they see him as not caring and not being sensitive to their needs, not willing to get up and give them what they need. And so they reach the point where they go, why pray? Because they see God as being distant or disinterested. God who doesn't really care. And why am I sharing this? I guess I'm sharing this because I have seen exactly the opposite thing beginning to grow in our fellowship. There is an increased belief in our fellowship that God answers prayer. Amen. And sometimes we don't quite understand it. Sometimes the answer doesn't come the way we wanted it to. Just be honest with you, folks. Some of us prayed for Linda to be healed, and instead, the Lord took her home. She's rejoicing, even though we're not. She's rejoicing. Sometimes we see God answering prayer progressively. We watch Doug week after week, a little stronger, a little better, a little more use. He's healing him. He's doing it. One of these days, he'll be whole. Sometimes it's miraculously. We heard 3 or 4 weeks ago how God just took it upon himself to grow 2 new veins in the back of Lyle's heart. I mean, that's no shoddy deal, folks. Just to grow 2 new veins in the back of Lyle's heart. And the doctor said, I don't understand it. Lyle said, I do. I can tell you. And then the doctor said, it's a miracle. It wasn't a Sunday on that day, but 3 years ago on the 17th of March, I had my stroke. And it was a miraculous intervention of God that within 2 or 3 hours, I had full function, well, pretty much full function of my facilities, my arms, the hands, I could actually think. Clearly, more or less. You see, we have seen an increased faith in a God who answers prayer. And that's what he wants. He wants us to look at him not as a disinterested neighbor or an unjust judge. He wants us to see him as the God who answers prayer. But if we continue to read in the scriptures, we see there's more. He says, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does the Heavenly Father give? How much more does the Heavenly Father give? He tells us how much more the Heavenly Father gives. He says, how much more does the Heavenly Father give Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And all of a sudden, it changes everything. Ephesians chapter 3. If you want to turn with me to chapter 3. Starting at verse 16. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is. And somebody ought to jump up and yell, amen. May you experience the love of Christ, although it is too great to fully understand. And then you will be made complete with all of the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or think. I like the one translation that says, or even imagine. You guys know my imagination. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. And suddenly our prayer focus has changed. It's lifted to a higher plane. We're praying for the power of the Holy Spirit to be active and displayed in and through our lives instead of praying for stuff and things. Well, does that mean I'm never going to ask the Lord for anything specific? Oh, sure we will. Sure we will. There's daily stuff. He says daily bread. There's daily stuff that we need. We ask him for it. But somehow the words of Matthew 6:33 come into play here when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his rightness for your life. And all these other things will be added unto you. All the other stuff will be taken care of. Do you really believe that if you seek first his kingdom, that he will take care of the rest of the stuff in your life? Really? I sure hope so, because he said he would. So let me ask you, what do you need today? Really? What do we need? Beyond the things that we request, we need the power of Holy Spirit active and controlling in our lives. Let me say that again, because it's really important. We need the power of Holy Spirit active and controlling in our lives today. So let me ask you a personal question, if you don't mind. What stage are you in? Are you asking? Sharing wants or concern? Is that the priority of your prayer life? Have you moved on to seeking? looking for God's perspective on whatever it was you were praying for, asking about. Maybe you've moved on to the knocking stage where you've submitted your ask and your seeking to Him for His action. Boy, that's a good stage. But you know what? Maybe there's some things that we have done all of that with. We have asked and we have sought and we have knocked. And we feel like we know His will and we've submitted ourselves to that will. But we're waiting. We're waiting. It's okay. That's why they have waiting rooms at the hospital, so that people can wait. Sometimes God has waiting rooms for us. And when we have asked and when we have sought Him and when we have knocked and we've given it all over to Him, sometimes He just lets us sit in the waiting room. I'll be very honest with you. I don't like the waiting room. I'm not a good waiter. But that's the reason why Paul tells us to pray continually. Because he wants us to keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking no matter what. Even during the waiting time, we keep on asking and seeking and knocking. Why? Because he wants us in conversation with him, just like Bill was saying this morning. He wants us in conversation with him. He wants to have that daily communion and fellowship with his kids. That's what he wants. That's what we need. That's what we want. I got to tell you, I'm probably in all four categories this morning. There are some things that I'm asking. There's just fresh things that have come up in my life. I'm asking. There are a bunch of things that I am seeking. I'm looking for his perspective on the things that I've asked about previously. There's some things where I'm knocking. I've turned it all over to him. It's in his hands now. He said, I got this. I said, great. But I'm still waiting. And maybe some of you are in those stages too. Maybe you have asked and you have sought and you have knocked and you're waiting. Fortunately, most of us have points that we can turn to and say, this is where God answered prayer miraculously in my life. Just a moment, we're going to go into our praise and prayer time. And if you have a prayer request this morning for your uncle's cousin's neighbor that lives three doors down, would you put that on one of those fellowship, communication cards, and give it to me afterwards, and I'll send it out, and we can all get it. But if you're asking or seeking or knocking or waiting, or if you just want to praise God for an answer to prayer in your life, so that it can bless all of us and increase all of our faith, I'd like to have you focus on that. I'm not going to let Pastor off completely this morning. I'm going to have him take the mic. And as he comes around and as he responds to the things that you say, he knows how to pray. Father, I pray that you will make our hearts tender right now. as we might be willing to actually share a little bit of ourselves in your name. Amen.